Hey, it's Selena.
And this is Paul.
And we are the creative team behind Bruce Fest.
And we're here to invite you to join us for virtual Bruce Fest on March 24th.
Featuring a masterclass on acting with Bruce Campbell himself.
Interactive events, live guests, and lots of spooky surprises.
And an online immersive game continuing the story of the Bruce Fest universe.
Do we dare call it the Bruceiverse?
I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, no, probably not. Also, we just wanted to really reach out to the community to tell you guys how much we love you and how much we appreciate your passion for Bruce Fest and also how much we miss you.
Yes, we've definitely missed you a lot. We've all been wanting to get together. So this is our way of reconnecting and moving Bruce Fest into the future.
Join us March 24th for virtual Bruce Fest.
See you there.
For more information, visit brucefest.co. Bruce Fest is not affiliated with S-Mart.
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cult of Campbell. I'm Ty.
And I'm Ursa.
It's just Ursa and I today, this two-man episode of Cult of Campbell. And it's a rarity for the Cult of Campbell because we are taking on fresh Bruce, new Bruce, a new Bruce flick that is 2021's Black Friday. It's very rare. We usually end up, you know, do stuff in the 90s and the 80s and early 2000s. So for us to be able to do something new, it's pretty rare.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty crazy.
It's not often we get to do new Bruce. And there's another new Bruce movie we'll get to eventually at some point, I'm sure. But so this right here is directed by Casey Thibault. And I'm interested to see what he's done because I've never heard of this guy. Looks like he hasn't really done a lot. He's not done much. He's produced, like, co-produced a couple movies, and that's about it. This is, like, director debut, I think.
No.
What, you find, something?
IMDb got him quite a few things. 2015, 2016, 2018.
What about this writer, Andy Griskovic? I've never heard of him. He doesn't have a link on, he's not linkable on a wiki. So
he doesn't have anything on.
Oh, is this a debut? What a debut piece!
So oh, yeah, he does. Here it is.
Oh,
he's known for this show called Marshmallow, or a movie called Marshmallow, The Dreamers.
Never heard of that.
And that's just about it. The Dreamers and Black Friday is the only thing he wrote.
Is it maybe a music video by that guy Marshmallow?
Maybe. And it just says known for it. Doesn't even say he's a writer for it.
So. Maybe he was like part of that or something. So this was produced by Bruce Campbell. And this, of course, stars Bruce Campbell, along with horror alumni, Devon Sawa from Final Destination. And Final Destination, Idle Hands. He's in that new Chucky series I keep telling you guys about. It's badass. You guys have got to check that out. And, of course, speaking of badass, Michael Jai White, who we all know is Spawn. And I was very excited when I seen that he was in this.
Yeah, he's
also
pretty badass.
Also has Ryan Lee, the kid from the big tooth kid from Super 8. And then Ivana Baquero, who I've seen her in Pan's Labyrinth before, that Del Toro movie from like the early 2000s. This right here is, of course, about a group of shopping mall employees who have to take on a horde of alien zombie mutants on everybody's favorite holiday, Black Friday.
Now, so, would you call this a Thanksgiving? Would this qualify as a Thanksgiving movie?
I feel like so, because there's like... Did you get like there was a lot of turkey stuff in it?
Yeah, I mean, when it starts, it actually takes place on like Thanksgiving night, right? Like they're there early to open the store for like the late night Black Friday deals. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like he leaves during Thanksgiving dinner with his shitty family.
And spoilers, like the zombie things, like didn't they remind you of turkeys?
With
the,
you know,
with the fucking beaks.
I mean, kind of. You know what they really reminded me of? When I kept seeing like the face, because it seemed to me like they couldn't like nail down actual design for the creatures, but right in the face they reminded me so much of the From Dusk Till Dawn vampires.
Yeah, I got that. The spoiler alert, the big thing at the end, I feel like was supposed to look like a turkey.
Yeah, it looks like a peep.
Yeah, right. Like, was like I feel like they went a little like unnecessarily heavy handed into like the Thanksgiving Day aspect of it.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Let's talk about that later here in the next segment. I think it's time to get groovy.
Grab your boomstick and fire up the Delta. It's time for ACTION.
Campbell.
Groovy.
And if you're lucky a little later, I'll let you play with my boomstick.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And here we are to talk about in depth the newest, maybe holiday horror classic, Black Friday. So I heard about this movie like months ago. I think back the first year, because I know Bruce was talking about putting together the Expendables of horror. And I don't know if this is the movie he was talking about, but with Devon Sawa and Michael Jai White in it, maybe that's what he was talking about. But I heard about this. I was very excited. When I seen the poster, I was very excited because of the font. It's very weird because of the font they use in the poster. Have you seen the posters?
I don't think so. But it makes sense that you would get excited about that since you're kind of a graphic designer type guy.
But the font they use is the Ash vs. Evil Dead font.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's pretty specific.
Yeah, it's the exact same font. If you look at it, it's the exact same font for Ash vs. Evil Dead, and it's the same font they use now for the whole Evil Dead franchise. And like all the re-releases and stuff, they use this font. So like I was thinking, like, Bruce Campbell in a shopping mall, is this a secret Ash project? That was my like nerd like wish, was this going to be a secret Ash project.
Yeah, like maybe like, he just shows up and he's got no hand, and then he's like, oh, okay, yeah, well,
yeah,
I got his chainsaw hand.
like imagine like the screen opens up and it's just like the outside of the store and it pans up and it's S-Mart. Oh my God, I would have lost my fucking mind. But alas, it wasn't. And then we saw the trailer looked awesome. I was super excited and I was like counting down the days. So it was, they released it on Black Friday, which is very smart, obviously. Very smart thing to do. So they released it digitally on Black Friday, and I just watched it a day before we started recording. So,
I literally just finished watching it.
You did?
Yes.
So where did you hear about this before this, or was it just something I told you about?
No, I think I saw the like an ad for it or something, maybe on the Bruce Campbell fan club Facebook page.
Who still messages back the last post our podcast on there, by the way.
Well,
I've sent them like two messages like, hey, can we, because they monitor their posts. And I've been like, hey, can I post this podcast me and my friends have all about Bruce Campbell? And they just straight up don't read it. So
shitty mods. They just left you on unread?
Yeah, shitty mods.
What assholes?
All right, shitty mods.
Hey, I'm calling you out, Bruce Campbell fan club on Facebook.
Yeah, how can you deny the only all Bruce Campbell podcast the ability to post on your page?
Yeah, everybody unsubscribe.
Yeah, unfollow. All of our tens of fans. So I was right at the opening of this movie, I was kind of confused, and it kind of bugged me throughout the rest of the movie. Right at the opening, I was confused about like the first thing that happened, because like the first couple minutes confused me, because I don't know if they were just trying to play into the whole like shoppers or monsters kind of thing. But you know, it opens up with this like skeleton crew who's like setting up for Black Friday, and the one guy is like ominously like approaching the window, the front of the store, and it's all like foggy and stuff. You can't see what's going on, and you see people like running. You hear like growling and shit, and like someone even like bangs against the window like a zombie. And he's like, oh, these shoppers are fucking monsters. But then the MacGuffin flies through the window, or the ceiling, which we find out is this organic alien blob meteor.
Yeah.
So I was confused as to like if the infection had already started, or if they were just trying to play heavy-handed into the whole shoppers are monsters thing. So it confused me.
I thought they were kind of trying to do like a whole anti-materialistic thing, but they were just kind of afraid to pull the trigger on that, you know, the whole time.
It felt like they had a concept what they wanted to do, but I'll get in preferences. So my whole vibe with this movie is bleeds into like what they say in the movie. I feel like this movie was a big waste of potential.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
and it goes into like this, like the best scene of the movie is like centered around this whole idea of like waste of potential. And I feel like this is where this movie is like embedded, is this like waste of potential. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's this aura that surrounds the movie after you watch it of like shoulda, woulda, coulda, and they didn't at all. Like they had so much potential they could have done with this movie, and I feel like they squandered a lot of it.
Yeah.
We get the introduction of this meteor thing. It's this like blob. It looks like the blob from the 80s Blob remake.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Like a lot was the blob.
And then I just want
to poke it with a stick.
Right, and it was like, shook his hand.
Yeah.
So it kills Monty, is the employee's name. It kills him and it attacks the two other employees of the skeleton crew. And we find out as well the store in this. Or no, this is a different store.
Yeah, this is the Allmart.
This is the Allmart. Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I was going to say, like, no, how did these infected things take over, start happening, but then later in the store it doesn't happen? That makes sense. So this is Allmart, and our hero store is We Love Toys. But following this, it's Thanksgiving Day, and we meet our hero of the movie, our would-be hero, Devon Sawa, who plays Ken Bates. And he's dropping off his daughters to their mother and their, I guess, nerdy, unlikable stepdad. I guess they don't quite enjoy him. So they have Thanksgiving breakfast. His daughters kind of ring him about that. And he has to drop them off so he can go to work. And I like his little bit about, you know, only heroes work on Thanksgiving. Like, kind of like boasting himself up.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
You don't look like a loser in front of your kids.
right. We then go off to our hero store, which is We Love Toys, the big toy franchise, and we meet all of our characters here. We get like a full little walkthrough as Ken enters the store, and we meet all of our characters. And we have Anita, who's like the bitch. She's like the co-manager or something like that?
I think she's just like a suck-up, honestly. Yeah, I think Brian is the co-manager.
Yeah, Brian's assistant manager.
Yeah, so she's just like, you know, aiming high to get that, you know, employee of the month for her We Love Toys.
And along the way, he met Chris. He picks up Chris, who's this kid who he's still in high school, I believe. His dad makes him work to, like, pay the bills.
His dad makes him pay rent.
He doesn't want to be there, and he just wants to live his life. And
he's a germaphobe.
He's a germaphobe, which they kind of just use when necessary, like when convenient.
Yeah,
honestly, I forgot that he was...
Build on that at all.
No, it's like randomly he would have like an instance where he'd be like, ooh, gross. But then other times he'd be like covered in blood and not flinching. But then other times when it was like opportunity for humor or to enter a plot point, they would be like, oh, I'm allergic to germs or whatever. So we meet Chris, Kim, we met Anita, we meet Brian, who's the assistant manager, and he is just the biggest kiss ass. And it's weird, they like do... a thing they do with these characters, I don't know if it was intentional. The character arcs in some of these is like very uneven. Like, you have points where the character is like super dislikable, but then super likable. And I don't know if it's poor writing or good writing.
I think it's poor writing.
I couldn't tell.
I was very confused throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, because there's Bruce's character, Jonathan, goes through like waves of being like the biggest asshole to being like sympathetic, then the biggest asshole. And then sympathetic. And I couldn't tell if it was good writing or bad writing. It happens so often with every character. Brian is a good example where they kind of make him seem like he wants to do good or he cares about the employees. Then other times when he is just an asshole and super dislikable and a kiss ass, I couldn't tell. He's like, him and Jonathan are two good examples of that. Then we meet Ruth, who's like the old lady who just has been there for years. What'd she say when she first started there? They used to make the separate the blacks and the whites. Then we have Marnie, who is the would-be love interest of Ken, and,
which is pretty inappropriate.
Yeah, because isn't she like pretty young? I had the vibe that she was like Chris's age.
I thought that's what I got from it. And then you get this old man like hitting on her, and she says it's just a thing. So I mean,
I feel like what they wanted to do with this Ken character, and later on they kind of touch on it, is they want to make him into Ryan Reynolds' character from Waiting.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Because they even say, like, you think you're the coolest guy at We Love Toys, but he never once really acts like he's, like, the cool dude. Like, he doesn't have those Ryan Reynolds moments where he's like, I run this place or whatever. Like, he doesn't have those, but later on they touch on it. And I feel like that was their intention with him, was to be this.
I think that's what they were trying to do. Because, I mean, even they brought him in the new trainee in and
yeah,
he's got to train
right.
him, and he's just like, just be stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, he gives him the advice, like, if a customer comes up, you ask you where the yo-yos are, what do you tell him? He's like, oh, aisle, so-so. No, no, you point any direction, and they'll figure it out themselves.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think that's what they were trying to do there.
But they didn't really, like, again, with this movie.
Well, I don't think they achieved the whole lot that they set out to do with this movie.
That's what really sucks with this movie. Bircher, who is the maintenance man, he is played by badass Michael Jai White. And if you want to continue with the theme of this review, Waste of potential.
Yeah.
But we meet Bircher. They get a pretty attractive our characters we have, our central characters anyways. We have Ken, Chris, Marnie, Brian, Archie. Who the fuck was Archie?
Was he the truck driver?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, Archie's a truck driver. So Archie's one delivers the toys. Then we had Ruth, Emmett, Anita, and Bircher. And that's like our central group of characters here inside of We Love Toys. And they're getting ready for the biggest shopping night of the year. And we hear their fearless captain over the intercom. This is our first introduction of the man himself, Bruce Campbell. I messed up the names. Archie is Michael Jai White. Bircher is the that one dude that goes outside to smoke.
Oh yeah, that's a punk kid.
Yeah, that's the one. And you see him, and he's the one they use on all the posters and shit too. They use that creature design on all the posters. So while he's getting everyone's getting ready for Black Friday, he sneaks out for a cigarette and gets locked outside and gets mauled. So that's the last we see of him. That's like the write off of him. And then we hear Jonathan, who is played by Bruce Campbell over the intercom, and he prepares his troops for battle. And what do you think of the initial introduction of Bruce?
I don't like it. I don't like the mustache or the bow tie, really. But I mean, I think the bow tie played a bigger like to his character than the mustache. The mustache was just creepy.
Right.
If somebody has a mustache and that's it, that's the only facial hair they have, I either assume they're a cop or a child molester. No offense to anybody out there that has a
mustache. All of our mustachioed listeners have shut off the pod. I don't know. I think it kind of worked his like whole like character design, because later on Marnie has this line where she's like, "I swear to God, you are I thought you were a serial killer," and that kind of like, because he did have those vibes. Like when you put all that together, he could have been like one of those like dudes lives by himself in the suburbs with like some cats. And everyone says it's super quiet. And on the weekends, he's going out like killing hookers.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
it could have.
Especially when he talks about how like, hey, you know, you have to listen to me and all this other shit.
Oh like, yeah, he definitely had like some sociopathic tendencies. He was like, exercising as the manager of this toy store. So we get ready for the big opening of the Black Friday, and one of the things that first caught my attention, like I was looking at, because I knew the set inside of a toy store, was I was looking around at the set pieces. Because in my mind, if I was to write a movie set in a toy store, I feel like there's so much potential with that setting. With like a Home Alone-style-esque like shenanigans.
Right. But I mean, then you would miss out on all the product placement money from Xbox.
They didn't have any of that, though.
Yeah, they had. They had Xbox. Xboxes.
Oh, they had Xboxes? A ton of Xboxes,
yeah. Xbox Ones, though. I mean...
That's kind of, yeah, what are they doing?
Maybe they couldn't afford the Xbox, the new Xbox boxes.
Maybe. See, I feel like, though, if you was, like, to set a movie in a toy store, you would institute things like, you know, squirt guns, like Nerf guns, something like that you would, like, later use as, like, you mentioned earlier, Dust Till Dawn. Like, remember the Dust Till Dawn scene
when
they go into the storage locker and they get all the toys and... You know, revamp them in the vampire killing toys.
Yeah, they bless the water for the super soakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I feel like they should have, like, that's what I would have expected out of a toy store setting, was somehow, like, utilize, like, oh, let's make the hang zombies with jump ropes or some shit like that, or, like, let's throw a bunch of marbles, like, you know, Home Alone shit. I feel like that would have been what, if I was to set a movie inside of a toy store, like, that would be the main purpose of doing it, was to utilize the setting. And that's something they missed out poorly on this, because they very rarely use anything from the store. I can't think of a single instance where I saw them other than like they use like the glow sticks for light, the bait, like I think they use a wiffle ball bat at one point, shit like that. I mean, just underutilized the whole aspect of it. I would have went full bore with it. And that's something that this movie does, is kind of restrains itself a little too much. Well, at times trying to be goofy, but at other times it like takes itself too seriously, I feel like.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think they wanted to do some type of anti-materialistic thing, but they were just afraid to pull the trigger on it.
I don't understand that either. It's like Bruce has some pretty like direct lines about like shoppers being monsters, and like even like the characters even like say it, like these shoppers are monsters, but they just don't. They kind of miss out on the whole. They don't go into it. They don't lean into it enough.
Like the zombies are like pushing shit to the blob to make it grow. Right. Right, and it's all like carts full of toys and Xboxes and, you know, big wooden blocks, and it's like they never elaborate on it at all.
And that's the biggest problem too, is like, I get what they were going for, but I don't know. I thought this was lazy writing. Cause I know what they were thinking. Like, oh, people are going to get it. They're feeding the beast or whatever. But no, sometimes you have to be a little like expository, and you have to say like, this is why. Like, why does this alien need a cart full of wooden blocks?
Right. I think it just makes you look like a pussy when you don't just come out and say it or elaborate right. on it in some type
go,
of way. Just
fucking go into it. They open the doors to Black Friday, and all the shoppers come swarming in. And they're not necessarily mutants at this point, right? Like, there's...
I think that the man that in the very beginning, he was like, when he's in the line with his wife, and he says, oh, I don't feel good. And she's like, oh, you're fine. But then when he comes through the door, he looks like he's kind of infected already. You know what I mean? It's like bags under his eyes and red and stuff like that. But I mean, otherwise, I mean, I thought a lot of the characters look like that anyway.
Right. I had some questions too about the whole like parasitic aspect of it. Cause like, I didn't understand if it was a zombie scenario where you get bit and scratched, that will turn you into a zombie, or if you actually had to have like that parasite, the little noodles sprung on you to turn into a zombie. Because I think some of our characters got like beat up by the zombies and didn't turn. But
sure, I think the little tongue thing, the chameleon tongue type thing, was the method of transmission.
The little spaghetti tongue thing they did. Yeah, that was interesting. I found that to be one of the more like stronger effects they use, surprisingly. Because overall, the effects in this movie aren't bad, as when they're practical. That was the good part of when they did practical, because it was done by Robert Kurtzman, who did the effects for, like Evil Dead 2 and shit. And he's done a ton of shit. I think he's even worked on like Walking Dead and stuff. And I think he's the K in K and B effects with Greg Nicotero. So they it doesn't take long before we get is it the character from the beginning who comes out and attacks Chris? Was that the zombie? It's like stalking around, attacks Chris, and he kills it.
Yeah. Yeah, the man that was in the line in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what it looked like to me anyway. The one that's kind of pushing the block and kind of hiding for whatever, behind it.
Yeah, pushing it and like hiding. Yeah. So he attacks Chris, and Chris kills him. And this was another like obvious budgetary thing they did, where he kills him and they just immediately evacuate the store, which I guess would be the protocol, but. To me,
doubt it, man. He killed another. He killed another one too. The lady that came out behind him after that.
Oh yeah, he did.
Smacked her with the mop and it like ran her through the. But I mean, no store's going to do that. They're just going to be like, yeah, we're going to close down this aisle, call the cops, and you know, we'll get through this.
I almost wonder if this movie was like filmed last year, like over the COVID stuff.
It kind of feels like it was filmed maybe even before that, given that they had, you know, it's supposed to like touch on this again, but it's supposed to be like Black Friday, current day, you know, but they have like Xbox One boxes. And
I feel like that dates your stuff anyway. I always liked the movies when they did like the fake products.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine they got product placement money. It probably wasn't much, but I mean.
Yeah. I always enjoyed that though, when they would like do like a, you know, the game station or some shit like that, you know, the Turbo Man and stuff. But they kill this like rabid shopper or two of them. Chris kills two of them. And then they like take him. They tie Chris up and they're like kind of interrogating him. But what happens next? Like where everything kind of like falls? Cause like shit, like that's one good thing about this movie is it didn't take long for everything to kind of get into motion. They were very efficient with their timing, even though they didn't utilize it the best, but they didn't like make you wait around with like, you know, build up or like that. They kind of just dumped you right into everything. And they were very efficient with the first act of setting everybody up and what's going on.
Yeah, I kind of wish they would have dove into the, even if they spent less time on like the supporting characters, if they did dove a little bit more into the, like the main characters a little better.
So I think like, doesn't just everyone, like the shoppers start attacking the employees? And that's like the next thing that happens?
What it is like they're evacuating the store and the new kid, is walking up behind this lady, this brunette lady, and he's like, hey, we're closed, we gotta go, and he attacks her. And that's when I think a cool guy
the Ken,
yeah,
our hero Devon Sawa,
yeah, that's when he like rescues her and stuff, or rescues him and stuff and takes him in the back, and he's like, oh, shit's going crazy. So
and Emma almost immediately turns, right?
Yeah, it's like during that same scene,
like they pull him in the back and then he turns and he kills Anita,
which I was happy to see her die.
Oh yeah, she was terrible. Like that was, she was easily, they could have made her like the big bad of the movie. But she was fucking annoying. Like, she wasn't even, like, enjoyable, like, an enjoyable... It wasn't even fun to dislike her. She was just a shitty person.
Yeah, I know, like, the beginning when she's, like, licking the napkin so she can scrub her employee of the month.
Yeah.
Employee of the month plaque. It's like, who's your employee of the month? Toy store.
So, Ruth, like, goes up to the office. She barricades herself in with, like, Jonathan and them. And then Archie, Chris, and Brian, they have to go through and, like, close all the exits. That's the next big thing. They're trying to close it out to where they're trying to keep the shoppers from getting inside. And I'm trying to think of where they get the fucking call from the Walmart.
Oh, no. They were trying to call other We Love Toys locations when that happened.
Okay.
When they finally got a hold of the people and they told, you know, he's like, oh, don't let them congregate.
And that's one of the big aspects, I think, is like a big plot hole to this. Is like you said, they were just trying to get the whole, consumerism and feed the beast shit. But like they you got to be expository. There needed to be some way for them to have gotten more information or at least told the audience what the fuck was actually going on with that.
I think even if they showed it more instead of like saying it, if they showed it more on screen, and maybe that got cut on the editing floor, I don't know. But if they showed it more on screen, it would have been a little more clearer and a little more... I still got what they were trying to do. It just felt like it was very light-handed.
Yeah, it was light-handed, exactly. They were just doing it to do it, but they weren't telling us why they were doing it. You can do anything on the screen. You can do anything in a story. But what's the purpose behind it, and why are you doing it? That's the other thing. Like you said, totally get it. It's the feed the beast thing. Consumerism bad. But I want to know why this alien organism that crashed Earth wants a cart full of wooden blocks.
Right. Consumerism bad. Now buy my movie.
Yeah, buy my movie on Black Friday. So I'm like kind of like debating like myself, like if I'm going to buy this on Blu-ray or not. I feel like maybe I'll buy it if I find it cheap. I don't know. Because I didn't hate it, but it just definitely was a wasted pile of potential. But so we get they go through, they close all the doors, and then Ken and Jonathan go to the restroom because Ken wants to get his stash. We find out here that Ken's an alcoholic, which was a plot point they kind of touched on every now and then, but it was never like detrimental to his character.
Right.
Like at no point was he like, oh, I can't function because my alcoholism. They just
didn't go through DTs or anything like that.
No, they just kind of threw it on his character to make him seem like that much more of a loser. It's just something they like to do to this character was like make him seem like a loser. So we could root for him to like turn it around.
And his character arc wasn't even that great. I was like, he put on like the skates and he skates around the store and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
For way too, I was watching nothing. I had no idea what the fuck he was doing. Like,
you started a fire and made things worse.
that one thing they keep using in the movie. What's the bear?
Oh, it was like the Dennis bear. It was like,
Dower Dennis.
Yeah, it was like an emo Dennis.
there was this bear that just like says shit like, my wife left me last week. but it's apparently the hottest toy of the year. Like, everyone's after it, but apparently has a malfunctioning battery, which I thought it was going to be something cool, like the battery's fucking explode, and we're going to have, like, projectile Dower Dennis.
That's like another thing. He opens up those propane tanks, and there's never like an explosion from that. Not that I noticed, anyway.
There's a boom. Fire, but I don't think it was there was no boom.
Right.
Like, there was just, like, the fire in the building at the end, but, like, no, like, I expected these Dower Dennis dolls to be, like, explosives is what I wanted from it. I wanted it to be, like, the Nokia phones that were, like, exploding people's hands. Like, that would have been kind of a cool plot point for, and here's another waste potential. Like, they focus so much on that damn bear, too. Like, it takes up a huge chunk of time in the movie.
Yeah, like the guy in the beginning, he said that the guy in the alley would give him a hand job if he got him one.
Yeah, and every time they passed by a Dower Dennis, they would kind of like establish it was there. And toward the third act of the movie, the thing is basically like Ken's sidekick. Like, right? Like, it's like this there. And it was a joke that Bruce must have found funny or something like that. And he was like, as a producer, like, oh, we need more Dower Dennis. Because there in that third act, it's like, just Dower Dennis everywhere. Every chance I get, he's just like, oh, I only drink when I'm lonely, and I'm lonely a lot. So, like, he says shit like that constantly.
I would actually like to get my hands on like the shooting script for this movie to see how they fucked up. But, it feels like things just got cut out of the movie.
I feel like this, because the movie is only 80 minutes long. It doesn't even reach the whole hour half. So I feel like this movie could have done an extra, like, even an extra 10 minutes they could have really done a lot with, just by way of establishing more of like what the fuck was going on and like utilizing this, you know, this like this setting more. Just a huge lapse in potential in this movie. I don't really know how to explain it. Ken kills this fucking creature, which is the truck driver from the beginning, who had like one of the forced lines. I hated that line where he's like, Ken is like helping out a customer or helping Emmett or something like that. And the trucker's possibly behind him is like, I gotta, where's the bathroom, man? I gotta park a Buick. And I'm like, I thought it was so fucking stupid. And I hate humor like that's forced. But we find him later. He comes out, he attacks Ken, and they kill him. And it really leads to nothing. There was so much of these scenes were just, I don't know, like just kind of wasted. Marnie, she goes in the Santa's village, and that's where the creatures are congregating. She sees them all feeding this glowing orb. And we find out later when they call the other We Love Toys that the shoppers are amassing and building something. And that's all they give us. And I'm not going to harp on this anymore because we get no, don't ask us why they're doing this. Just know they're doing it.
No, it's something about materialism or something. I'm sure.
Yeah, materialism bad. Don't buy the Blu-ray of this. Buy the digital copy. Better. Then they get all the doors secured. And this was one part that I didn't understand. So they know that there's more shoppers in the store, but they get the doors secured, and it's kind of like it's this moment of relief where they're like, all right, now what's next or whatever. What do you do now? But there's obviously more shoppers in there because even Marnie, she knows that the monsters are all assimilating and, you know, making this, you know, feeding this blob. I thought it was very, very odd. It was kind of an inconsistency in the story where they're not out of the water yet. But they kind of just act like they are.
Right. I was expecting like some kind of badass zombie or parasite or whatever the hell these things were, like clearing scene, you know, where they're going around with, that's what, like you said earlier, they're using like everything, what they have available to them to go around and kill these zombies that are left over. And it just doesn't happen.
They had so much fun with that. You know, like throwing baseballs in their faces and shit. Like,
yeah, apparently they're squishy. So.
Yeah, apparently. So this is the point where all of our characters meet up. All of our characters are still alive. So we have Jonathan, Ken, Chris, Marnie, Brian, Archie, and Ruth. And they decide to use this time while they're trying to figure out a plan to also establish that Jonathan has not been truthful with the employees. They were all promised that by working through Black Friday, they would be getting holiday bonuses, big holiday bonuses. And they're all depending on those bonuses. And this is one of the points where it's another inconsistency with Brian's character, where he like sides with the employees. He's like, you lied to them and all this. And like, I can't believe you do this. So Jonathan has revealed that there are no bonuses. And also there's going to be layoffs coming up. So they make Jonathan out to be this like evil bastard. And all the employees are very disgruntled about this and forget that they're in a life-threatening situation where there's monsters killing each other. So they're all way more concerned about the fact that they're not getting their holiday bonuses.
Right, yeah, because that's what's important.
Yeah, it's like, no, you're in the middle of the apocalypse.
I mean, I would just have to assume that shit is just going bad everywhere. What the fuck is money going to get you?
Right.
What are you going to do with money? You going to burn it to keep warm?
I don't understand. Like, what? Like, it just seemed like the wrong time for that. Because, you know, I feel like there was bigger things at stake here. Like you said, I mean, obviously, if these things are killing people and you have heard, like, no news of, like, the army's coming or the police are coming, you'd have to assume, like, oh, this is obviously not the worst of it. There's worse elsewhere.
And I don't know how far away this other We Love Toys store is, but, I mean, we know that shit's happening there.
You know it's not an isolated situation.
You could probably assume that it's happening in all the other ones you tried to call, and they didn't answer the phone. So, I mean, what are you going to need some money for? What is it, like, $200, maybe?
It was
like, what are you going to use money for?
It was a stupid plot point. It was a stupid element, though, in the script.
It should have been. I don't think it was stupid. I think it was badly timed. It should have happened way earlier in the night.
Way earlier, yeah. Because I do understand. Like, I do get it. Like, it is something that is a valid plot point, but like you said, it's the timing of it. That take place now when things have escalated this far to now stop and complain about your paycheck.
I'm going to get laid off? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, well, at least you're alive. Your coworkers have been mauled to the bone, so at least take that in the credit. So this is where Ruth kind of like has a, I don't know, kind of like an old lady moment. Maybe like she was had a touch of Alzheimer's or something like that. She starts like walking toward the window, talking about lights and how pretty the lights are. And then the police show up. Finally, 5-0 is here to save us by plowing through the window and slaughtering Ruth and letting all those zombies in.
And it was like the cop was already dead, too, in the car, like after he crashed. But I mean, maybe it's just because these things are like squishy. I mean, they seem squishy sometimes and other times they don't. I think it just depends on the writing.
It seemed like there was levels of the there were stages, it seemed like. Because we even see it later with Emmett. Emmett starts out as like one of the squishy zombie things and they knock him out after he killed Anita. They like think they killed him. And then later on, he has a transformation to the turkey beaked.
And what's his name? Plugs him twice with the nail gun and then just lets him run off. And like, I didn't get that either. It's like,
I don't understand either. So this part of the movie really sucked because the mutants stormed the store. And this was probably the better piece of action we got, is where the employees kind of have to like run for their lives, but fight at the same time. And by fight, I mean Archie, who is Michael Jai White. And in a glorious case of wasted potential, he does not a whole lot.
Oh my god! I really thought that they were going to do, you know, like the Mars Attacks.
Oh, with the what is his name? He's like the boxer in the movie.
Yeah, he's the boxer, and he starts taking off all his fake stuff because he's like a washed up boxer. And now he like plays in Vegas as a pharaoh or something and he starts taking up all the stuff, and he's like 5-time heavyweight champion. He starts knocking out the fucking Martians. I thought that's what they were going to do.
Like he kills like two zombies, and he has a line there where he's like here's your doorbuster deals, motherfucker. And like I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then we see this like creature like spots him. Around the corner, and we hear like this like guttural cackling. It's this like big super mutant who like disappears, like jumps around. It's like hopping all over the place. And I was expecting maybe at least like a showdown or something. Like maybe we at least like see a face off or something like that between him and this monster. Like, you know, one of those like, you guys get out of here, I'll hold it off or whatever. And we get none of that. He just like, the monster jumps on top of the shelf. He looks up and then spaghetti noodles in the face. Dead.
It's an off-screen death too.
Yeah. Like they look away and they come back and his body's gone and blood hits the, like a bunch of blood shoots down.
And I hate when movies do that. Like that whole scene. Like they're together. He just saves germaphobe guy, and then he gets hit in the hand with the spaghetti tongue.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Go, get out of here. I'll hold you down," or whatever the hell they say. And he's like, "Okay." And then he runs to the edge of the aisle and he watches him. It's like, you didn't get away at all. He just gave his wife life.
I hate when they did nothing.
I don't know, like so this character's death now means nothing, even though you build it up like it was going to be something, and then it's nothing.
I mean, like what a just a waste for Michael Jai White. Like the character has so much potential, and anytime you cast Michael Jai White, like you're expecting a certain level of badassery because he's like a legitimate, you know, martial artist, just like a legitimate tough guy, and he's playing this character where you have all this potential for him to be just this like, you know, tool toting badass who can like, you know, has a fucking nail gun. He's like wielding like a magnum or something like that.
Right. And it's nothing.
No. And he does nothing. He like kills like two or three zombies and then gets off screen death. And I hate when they do that. Like you like build this character up, make us care about him, make us want to see him like kick ass, and then let him go out like a badass. Like, that's what you need to do. Give him a warrior's death. That's what we want. But no, exactly, it's just off screen death. I mean, it's just dumb. I hate that. They do that another time with another character we'll get to, who they do another, I think majority of the deaths were off screen, honestly. I can't think of like a memorable like on screen kill. Such a waste. So Archie's dead, and then this is where we have really the main scene I like that stuck out to me. These like instances of like zombie craziness seem to like ramp up and subside very easily, to where it's like all out craziness. What do we do? Then it's like, all right, we got away. And now everything's quiet.
Definitely, yeah. Like, let's go sit around in the back and talk some more.
Yeah, so Ken, Marnie, Chris, Brian, and Jonathan, they barricade themselves in the storeroom. And I actually liked this scene. Like, it was boring in comparison to everything else in the movie. But it was, like, the only one where it felt like a real movie. It felt like an actual movie. Like, they was actually trying to say something. Or, like, actually saying something, I guess. So all these characters, they all have varying degrees of like life outside the store. They all kind of reminisce about how long they've been there, what's kept them there, I guess why they're there, and how they're missing out on their family dinners to be at this place and why they're doing that. And I thought it was an interesting scene. I actually enjoyed it. Jonathan, our Bruce Campbell character, he has this like it's like all an ego thing for him. He's a loser outside the store, but inside the store he can boss around the cool guys and all the pretty girls have to suck up to him.
And honestly, I think that's like basically everybody who's like stuck in a job like that because, you know, they're under succeeding in life. You know what I mean? A lower right. level management or a lower level job in a place like that. That's what how they view their managers.
And that was like what I liked about it. This was the only time in the movie where like I thought they was actually saying something. It was actually making a point. That was a pretty interesting plot point, I thought. Like kind of breaking down these like ego, power hungry managers and like, oh, you know, they're losers on the inside and this is their one chance to feel like a big guy. I thought that was interesting.
Poor cradle robber. He's like, what do you mean we're not dating?
Oh, yeah. It comes out that Marty and Ken aren't dating at all. Like, it's just like a thing. An in-store romance. It's just like a we're bored at work kind of thing.
It helps pass the time. I'm like, oh, fucking bitch.
Oh, yeah. And this is like a dissection of Ken, too. Because, like, what the fuck does he starts getting on the Chris's shit about what he should do with his life and all this. And I forget what he says. Ken says something about, like, I'm not trying to treat you like one of my kids. And Chris is like, no, you see me way too much to be one of your kids. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, right in the fucking face.
I liked Bruce's reaction when he said that, too, because he kind of just looked away and put his hand up, like, I'm not paying attention to this at all.
So they have a very sweet dinner before all that happened. They all share sliced turkey meat and pretzels, and I thought it was a cool scene. I liked it. It felt like a real movie. It felt like one where they actually put some time and effort into it, and it felt sentimental.
It was a neat scene. It would have been a great slowdown if there was actually things that happened in the movie.
Right.
But there just wasn't enough, in my opinion, there just wasn't enough action before that to justify.
No, because at this point we've had two like minor zombie mutant chaos things. Like I said, it's always few and far between. It always ramps up and subsides so quick. Like it's like a minute of ramp up into like a little fight, and then it's like back to quiet and we're safe for now kind of thing. It just happened way too fucking much.
Yeah, it was just like one or two zombies every time it did happen. It's not like
and that's why I'm thinking this was like COVID.
I'm
like,
pretty sure I could fight my way out of that. I mean, it was like a couple at a time, and they're in like still in the squishy phase, you know. But, you know,
and this is where we get the first like glimpse of Emmett breaks into the Emmett returns. Who's the new guy? He returns. We see him transform into the second stage of the mutants. He like grows bigger and gets like this like weird turkey beak thing and these big ass teeth. I thought the monsters looked pretty cool in the second stage.
I did too. I like the monster, their face design anyway.
Yeah, that was cool. And like you see a lot of it in the promotional stuff. They show the birch character, whatever his name is. They use his like face a lot in the promotional stuff. And it's a very good like depiction of what the monsters look like. It's pretty badass. I really enjoyed it. It's all practical too. And that's where this movie shines in the practical effects, because all the practical effects are great. I mean, the gore is good. We don't get a whole lot of gore, but what gore we get is great. And the creature designs are awesome. And that's just where this movie shines, where it really takes in stride what it's trying to do and make this old school, gooey, you know, slimy creature movie. And that's the only time, that's the only part of the movie where it actually succeeds.
I mean, maybe that's why there wasn't as many. I don't know what the budget was on this guy, but I mean. Maybe that's why there wasn't as many creatures.
They don't have a budget listed on Wiki. I wonder what the budget is on that. I'm like very curious now. He comes in. They kill the zombie, the big mutant Emmett. Ken gets bitten by Brian, bites him for some reason. Like he's like trying to like, I guess, I didn't quite understand it. But like he brags about it later on in the movie about how he bit Ken. Oh, that's...
Holy shit. Did they shoot this in India?
Really?
The budget is in Indian rubles.
Do you have your VPN set to India?
No. But it's showing me the wrong Black Friday. That's what it is. I'm just like, 65 million. Because it says 65 million. I'm like, 65 million? No fucking way.
And it says INR. And I'm like, what the fuck is INR? So I had to Google that.
That's what happens. This part I must have missed. So I must have been like drinking a beer or something, or like tipping back one when this happened. But Brian bites Ken, and Ken presumes that he got bit by Emmett. And that's why he stays back and has a roller disco to himself. I don't fucking know what his plan was there, but he presumes that he's now infected. So he tells everyone else to go, and they go to the loading dock where they're going to try to escape through the truck the truck driver had earlier, the toy truck.
Which was a great idea. It's like, hey, who can drive a tractor trailer?
Right.
Nobody. Oh, we'll figure it out, you know?
Yeah, I guess, like, I probably would have made that presumption at the beginning of it. Like, because I, up until he got in the cab, I assumed it was just like a turn the key and shift the gears and hit the gas pedal. I didn't realize that 18-wheelers have, like, a cockpit on a plane.
I think, like, almost. I don't know. I've never drove one before. But, I mean, even if you couldn't, I mean, even, let's say you drive a manual transmission, there's more gears.
Yeah.
You're talking, like air brakes and all that shit. I have no idea anything about that. If somebody said, hey, let's use a semi to escape, I'd be like, nah, we ain't doing that.
I don't know. Maybe it's hopeful optimism. I'd be like, well, sure, let's do it. Like, it's just the hope that it would pan out somehow. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. They go to the truck and they get inside of it. And then that's where Chris, he's, you know, he presumes that he is able to drive the semi truck. So he gets out of the truck and he, this is where we find Birch. The mutated Birch is like standing patrol outside.
Yeah, he's just trying to chill.
Yeah, and he sees him. And he like walks off, and Chris assumes that's good. And Birch comes. I like the framing of this scene because like Birch sees him, kind of like nose sells it, and just walks around the corner. And Chris is like, "Oh, thank God!" And he turns around, and you see him like walking away, like relief. And in the background, you see like a horde amassing behind him. I really like that framing. And then they all chase after him. He gets in the truck, and that's where we find out that apparently 18-wheelers have a jet plane cockpit. with switches and toggles and all sorts of shit that I would have never assumed. So the inside the semi, it doesn't work. I like it too that Brian is like, when he first got out, he's like, oh, I can't wait to see how Chris fucks this up. And Bruce is like, you're such a sour, you're sourpuss, why you always doubt him? And he's like, no, he was accurate. he fucked it up. So they get in, they obviously, there are no way to escape. And the whole time this is going on, Ken is just like roller skating around the fucking store. And I'm still not sure what he does. He grabs Dour Dennis. He starts roller skating around. And he opens up some propane tanks, right?
Yeah, and he starts the fire with the Dennis doll.
And then the monster that killed Archie returns. And we find out, I don't remember this scene at all. Maybe I missed it. But apparently there was an old grandma yelling at him earlier about how she's going to eat his fucking guts.
Yeah. When does that happen? Oh, it's when he's talking. He's like, he says something about stupid choppers or something like that. When he's picking up something somebody knocked off. And he's like, that's what you think of us? The grandma's like, that's what you think of us?
So
it was just a grumpy fucking grandma. She's the one that went and sat down on top of the Santa throne.
Oh,
right above the meteor.
Okay. And she turns into like the big monster that we have in the store that kills Archie. And then takes after Ken. So they're playing like cat and mouse.
That creature design is exactly from Dusk Till Dawn.
I believe so, yeah. She even had like tits and everything too. Like
right.
it looked like something out of Dusk Till Dawn. Yeah, she had the big like mutant tits. So she takes after Ken. They do a whole cat and mouse thing. And Ken, like the whole group stays separated for fucking ever. And I really feel like this was like something they filmed like post-COVID. Because of how little the characters interact from this point on. Because they all run up to the top of the building, Brian, Chris, Marnie, and Jonathan. And this is where you have Jonathan's like kind of turning point. Earlier, before they went to the truck, he kind of says, like, I'm going to stay behind and we'll go down with the ship. And they're like, no, you're not doing that. And they take him with them. So then they go up to the top of the roof, and Ken has started the fire down below. So there's smoke coming up through the ventilation. All of a sudden, like a hatch opens where a bunch of hands start reaching through, and Ken like snaps, or Jonathan snaps, or Bruce Campbell, and starts talking about how he hates shoppers. The shoppers are never right. It says in the manual that you treat your employees like family, and these kids are the closest thing he'll ever have to a family. And starts jumping on the hatch, and then just opens it up. And what does he say? Like, he has a one-liner. I can't remember what the fuck he
said. I can't remember the one-liner. But yeah, he did say something.
Yeah, I can't remember it. I can't fucking remember. He has a one-liner. He just jumps into the pit of reaching hands and dies.
I mean, and it's completely pointless. It does nothing.
It does absolutely nothing. It does nothing. It writes that character off. It's unsatisfying end to our, you know, the main hook of anyone watching this movie.
It's a pointless suicide.
Yeah, he is just he doesn't want to run anymore. So he's like, all right, then we'll take this way out, and decides like feed himself to a bunch of zombies. It was stupid. I was expecting like I don't know. I expected like you was talking about earlier the Mars Attacks thing. That's what I was expecting at this point, was something like that. Like for him to jump down there and like us start to see like zombie limbs flying up out of the hatch and shit like that. And he like crawls out unscathed, just like covered in blood. I was expecting something like that. Cause I was like, there's no way that he's going to die that pointlessly. But no, they're just like, yeah, he's going to die that pointlessly.
Yeah, it was completely pointless. It was stupid.
So that writes off our Bruce character. No more of him. And then Brian, Jonathan, and or Brian, Ken, and Marnie, Brian, Chris, and Marnie, jump off the roof. They run out to the parking lot. They're trying to find Ken's van, which you established earlier. Ken has a dad van that can carry everybody. So they get looking for that. And while they're out in the parking lot, the building's ablaze, and from the building bursts a gigantic alien monster.
Gigantic alien people.
Yeah. It's like it was a turkey is what it looked like to me. It was like a skinless turkey.
With two heads. It had like a face beside its beaked face.
Yeah.
And then it had like, it looked like little people hanging out of its shoulder.
Yeah, I did not like the design at all. Because it was too big to make sense of why it had gigantic teeth and eyeballs and stuff for a human face. I don't know.
And they never showed like any of the bottom half of it at all. It's like,
it's just like.
Killing in the store.
Yeah, inside this burning store. You gotta imagine it's like it's slowly cooking itself. Like, why would it take the initiative to like remove itself from this fiery fucking pit that it's stuck in? So it just stands there, and like they're all looking at it like, oh god, what do we do? It's like, well, get in your car and drive. Like, by the way, like it's obviously not pursuing you. It's like stuck or something. So
it's just standing there.
Yeah,
well, it was like chucking concrete at him. Because I mean,
oh yeah,
he tried to run, but that was after. Brian tried to reason with it.
Right. Like, yeah. Brian has this idea that since he's a manager and these are basically customers, that he can reason with it. So
he just has to.
Yeah, he has to. He's like, you wouldn't understand it. It's a manager thing. And he goes up to it and like doing the whole like, you're scared. I'm scared too. I don't know what. We're all in this together. All this shit. And then the thing like leans down and then like flicks him across the fucking
that actually made me laugh.
That did. That was the one like genuine joyful moment I had in this. Like it's pretty funny because you're expecting to like smash him or like you know, pick up eat him and it just like flicks him across the fucking
yeah. Because at this point we have learned that I mean and I kind of knew it right away anyway when he tackled Ken. And he got up and was wiping his mouth. I kind of knew that, you know what I mean? Oh, he bit him. And he's like, oh, I've been bit. But at this point, he confesses to doing that in order to make him want to stay behind and die because he's a bad person or whatever.
And there's another point, too, at the on the roof prior to Jonathan dying that was another one of those character arc, like, confusing points where, like, Brian goes up and, like, I took care of Ken. I bit him. And Jonathan's like, yeah. Like, you know, he's like, yeah, you did it. Like kind of like, you know, gives him a pat on the back for it. So like you think, oh, he's an asshole. But then he has this like weird like character arc. It was just super inconsistent.
I think that was just a big breakdown. That's what it felt like to me. Just like some kind of mental breakdown.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with it. He's like, yeah, fuck this, I'm out.
So Ken shows back up at this point. And do they do anything to kill? Like, they drive the fucking forklift into it, right?
Yeah, he fires up the forklift and it tongues it, and yep. Then he's sitting there with like the in reverse, and then he hops out and throws it in forward, so it like flies into his face at like a high rate of speed, and the forks just plunge into the turkey's face.
Right. So earlier in the movie, like in the first act, Chris says, like, oh, Jonathan's crazy. He made me get forklift certified for some reason. And Archie's like, well, Casey has to forklift something. And he has to forklift a monster at the end of it, I guess.
Yeah. It's a clever, clever callback, I guess. But I mean, yeah. Not really, though.
So he drives into the creature's mouth, and the creature just kind of like groans and claps into the fire. And we think, oh, that's great. And Ken also, when he was in the store, he got a text message from his wife just saying, like, hey, me and the girls are all right. They set up safe zones, and we're here. We're safe. So he tells the Chris and Marnie, like, hey, there's safe zones everywhere. Let's get out of here. Let's go to one of these safe zones. They get in this little car. They drive off, and then we see the distance. There's, like, three other monsters.
Right, but, I mean, as squishy as these things are, military wrap it up overnight.
Oh, yeah. It only needs forklifts.
Yeah.
This is like a forklift certified like movie, but this is like one of those like call to actions. So all these forklift certified operators. Guys, yeah. Like it'd be like the last scene from Independence Day with all the pilots. It's like, that. It's like, is anyone here not drive a forklift? I drive forklift.
Well, just look for those guys in those t-shirts.
Yeah.
You can't offend me. I'm a forklift operator. Yeah.
But then a lot of them have to admit, like, I don't actually know. It's just a shirt. That's cool. Sir, that's stolen valor. You're a disgrace. The forklift drivers everywhere. That's what I want to see in the sequel. They need to, like, it needs to be the third act of Independence Day with forklift drivers. That's what I want.
I really thought, like, because, you know, like the forklift that they used, I thought that, like, because on the back, that big tank on the back of the forklift.
That was the obvious thing to me.
That was like full of like liquid propane. So it's right. Like, yeah, you're going to fly up there and hit that monster and then it's going to blow up. But no, it stabs it. The monster pulls it out, squirts some blood, and then falls over.
And dies off screen like everyone else. Like everything else, this fucking movie.
I mean those special effects on that, those graphic effects.
Yeah, that was where this movie it killed in practical, and it sucked when it came to CGI. So there you have it. That's 2021's Black Friday. I think we need to again talk more about this movie in the next segment. Let's go and find out about the quality of Campbell.
Good, bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
So we just watched 2021's would-be holiday horror classic. Questionable if it's going to ever hold that regard. What do you think of the movie?
To me, it's not going to hold that regard. It's very, very forgettable. It's confusing a lot. It's just like the character development wasn't great. The movie has abysmal action scenes, and a lot of the scenes didn't make any sense, like the timing of the scenes, like we were talking about earlier, like the holiday bonus scene.
Right.
It just didn't make any sense at all. It just felt like a clusterfuck of a movie. But on like the quality of Campbell, I didn't like the character that much at all. It didn't feel like a Bruce character. No. It felt like something that anybody could have played, really, even with that same effort. And it would have been the same outcome to me. So
I'd have to agree. Like, it's this movie, it's summed up in that scene they had where Ken looks at Chris and tells him, like, I've never seen a bigger waste of potential in my life. And that sums up this movie, because there's so much potential in this movie. They dropped the ball in every aspect, I feel like. The cast in this movie is great. Devon Sawa, I'm so glad to see him back, like, in the public eye, back acting. Like, he's such a good underrated actor, I always felt like. So I'm really glad to see him back. And I didn't feel like they utilized him properly in this hero role. Michael Jai White, badass martial artist. Like, how can you not have him do badass martial artsy stuff? Like, the dude's that's what he does. Like, just make it let him be Michael Jai White. And then Bruce, like, I did not like him playing this swarny character. He didn't pull it off, and it wasn't enjoyable to see. And they totally dropped the ball on the setting of Black Friday. Like, Black Friday is known, you know, it's not so much in the last few years, because the last few years have been pretty tame. I mean, you know, even before COVID, I mean, the last few years have been like nothing.
Really, like a lot of people like got like upset because, I mean, it felt like they kept pushing like the time and having people come in, you know.
Oh, remember like
Thanksgiving to start Black Friday.
Yeah, 2011. I remember 2011. They like Walmart opened at noon on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal.
And they started the stores started like rationing out the times that things would be on sale too. And I think that was to kind of prevent stuff. Like, you remember back when that lady got killed?
Yeah. And I feel like this movie should have leaned more into that, of like, because I don't think Black Friday is as crazy as people anymore anyways.
Yeah, nobody's getting shanked for Tickle Me Elmo these days, you know?
No, but they should have, like, built this world around that.
Definitely.
That shit was going on. Like, that's what should have just,
like, went with, like, even if they did, the parasite, you know, materialistic cancer growth, which is what I got from it. But it's like, you're in a toy store, and you're not using any of the toys to fight the zombies or the parasites, whatever they are, because we don't know what they are, because they never elaborated on anything. Like, there's, like, hardly any action, like, at all. And I know that's like a horror comedy movie, but I mean, there's not much horror either. It's like,
no, I wasn't ever like concerned for her characters really, or scared or anything like that. Like, and even the comedy fell flat, in my opinion. There wasn't that many memorable, funny scenes.
Right. When Brian got football kicked, that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this movie is just total waste potential, and it's sad because I was very excited for it. And Bruce being not only involved as an actor, but a producer, I guess I had higher hopes, but. And Robert Kurtzman being involved doing the effects, which he did great. I mean, I'm not gonna fault him for that, because he did great on the effects. But just the amount of involvement Bruce had on it, it being a Black Friday horror movie, which I feel like is such a easy thing to like jump on. I'm surprised there aren't more Black Friday themed horror movies. But
I think you would kind of paint yourself into a plot if you did like a Black Friday horror movie. I mean, it would pretty much have to be like anti-consumerism. Yeah, zombie movie.
Yeah,
but I mean, I would like to see that if it's done good. But this is just not that movie.
And that's what sucks. It's just a waste of potential. It's just like they had this like great concept, this great cast. That's what pissed me off the most is the concept, the cast. Just totally gonna waste this movie, and it just sucks. The movie like pokes itself in the leg with that whole line about this is the biggest waste of potential. Because I kept thinking back on that of like, man, that really rings true.
Do you think it's self aware?
I don't think so.
I think when the guy wrote this, he was like, "Yeah, this is good."
Like you said, I'd like to see the shooting, the original script. I bet the original script was a lot more epic than this. I bet there was stuff with like, you know, Home Alone type shenanigans with, you know, utilizing toys and.
Yeah, to me, it'd be hard to write something like this and not have that.
Setting in a toy store, right? I mean, like, how can you not have like, you know, an aisle full of marbles at least? You know what I mean? Like, that's basic shit. You know,
and that would have been like slapstick funny, but it would have added a lot more comedy to this.
Right. Movie. Remember when we watched that one movie like years ago that was supposed to be like the horror Home Alone? Remember that one? It was like,
oh, yeah.
Better Watch Out, I think it was called, or something like that. But
maybe that was the one where they paint canned the kid?
Yeah, but it's like the cutaway.
Kid paint canned him. Yeah, oh, yeah. That was so annoying.
That movie sucks. Like, it was a horror movie, and like there was all this gore in it, and they have the kid like set the guy up in the chair. And like have him taped to the chair, and like he does the paint can thing, and like the whole promotional aspect of the movie was built around that kind of. It's like they was touting it to be like Home Alone if it was a horror movie.
And then the cutaway.
Yeah, he swings the can down, cutaway. Then we just get reaction shots of like, oh no, I hate that shit. But no, like that's another case of waste potential. Is like if you're going to do something, like just. Do it, like lean into it, like go full bore, like don't do it at all. Like I don't know, it's just such a frustrating waste potential. So I don't know. Let's go into what do you think? Groovy or not groovy on the quality of Campbell?
Definitely not groovy. It's just like I said, I think anybody could have played Campbell's part, and it wouldn't have been any different.
I'm gonna have to say I'm gonna agree with you. It's not groovy for me. So you got a certified not groovy. Animus between you and I. It's just I felt so bad for having to watch it and be this disappointed, because I was very hyped for this movie. I was so excited for it. It had all the potential in the world, and unfortunately squandered it all. And I'm sad, because this is not looking to be Bruce's best year, honestly, with this. And I'm hearing some pretty bad things about that Hallmark movie he has out, and I'm just hoping that post COVID he comes back and we get to see some badass stuff here in next year. But
I would like to see him to continue the Evil Dead series. Yeah. Ash vs. Evil Dead, let's just bring that back. And
it's so weird. He retired Bruce, who is this supermarket, you know, zombie killer, to go and play a supermarket zombie killer, not Ash, in his like first movie back. Like it's weird. It's like I was so like in my brain, like being an optimist, I was like, this is going to be a secret Ash project. Like somehow it's in, like I seen that Robert Kurtzman was involved, Bruce was producing, and the font they used, I knew exactly what that font was when I seen it. I was like, that's the fucking Evil Dead font. And I was expecting somehow, some way it to be a secret Ash project.
I mean, it kind of feels like, to me, it kind of feels like a betrayal of how fucking terrible this was.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff leading up to it was just like,
I've been kind of like, I didn't want to go too far into it because I didn't want to like taint my review of it, but I kind of like checked a couple sites just kind of like just to kind of see. And it's not getting good reviews. I think a lot of people were kind of feeling the same, that it was a waste of potential. And it does suck. It's terrible. And I hope that next year Bruce comes out with something badass. I know he's supposed to be in the Marvel shit here next year, rumored. So hopefully he comes back and like gives us something good, because this year does not seem to be the best year for Bruce.
This definitely wasn't it.
And eventually, you know, being the call to Campbell, we'll have to review the Hallmark movie at some point. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, you guys have fun with that one.
I'm actually kind of excited for it. So.
For those who don't know, Ty loves Hallmark movies.
And I love Bruce movies, so we'll see. So I think that about does it, Urse. You and I got to sit here and review Black Friday, just you and I. So this is our first cult of Campbell, I'm pretty sure. Like, not an Ashworthy with them. I'm pretty sure this is the first cult of Campbell, a regular episode with just two people. So this was interesting. We're both remote, too, which is really interesting. We're, like, not in the same location at all.
Yeah, I don't mind it that much. I really thought it would be different, but I mean, it's not bad.
I like it. I know. It's
don't spend as much time sitting around bullshitting and stuff before we actually get anything done.
You haven't seen some of these recordings we've sent Michael. We've sent him like 2 hour recordings. And, like, the recording doesn't, like, the show doesn't start till like an hour in because we'll get hung up on talking about something. I tell Mike, like, oh, the show starts at, you know, mark, you know, 53 minutes. but he loves it. The guy loves to work on sound. He can't get enough. But the more audio, the better, I think, is Mike's catchphrase.
Yeah, you know why? He's probably got, like, just tidbits of stuff he can use against us later.
Oh, I know he does some stuff. We'll go into that later. But, ladies and gentlemen, this has been our review of Black Friday. Hope you guys are enjoying. This is December, so this is, of course, a very cult talk Christmas month. We've got this, two episodes of Ashworthy Evil Dead. This all leads up to our Call to Campbell Christmas episode, which will be The Librarians and Santa's Midnight Run, where Bruce plays the big man himself, Santa Claus. I'm very interested to see that. Also, we're going to have that week of Christmas, we will have a very special episode where we're all going to talk about our favorite Christmas movies, a very special Christmas episode of Cult Talk Weird Shit, as well as a review of one of my personal favorite Christmas movies, Bill Goldberg and Santa's Sleigh, and our Christmas Day special, which will be our look at 2015's holiday classic, Krampus. So we hope you guys enjoy and you stick along with us through this Christmas month, and everyone enjoys their holidays. But until next time, I think we need to let you guys know. Well, first, follow us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at Cult Talk Net. And then after you do that, just remember, stay groovy.
Never fuck with the king. That's it? That's the best you got?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.